let's pray before we get started tonight, if we could. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for what you've shown us during this series. God, hopefully you've opened our eyes and our hearts to be honest, Lord, with you about what you say about sex and sexuality. And God, tonight, as we conclude this series, as we wrap it up and we talk about another area of sexual destruction, God, I pray that that the same would happen. But Lord, I pray that tonight there might be some commitments made, there might be some decisions made to move forward and to move toward you in whatever area that needs to be. God, I just pray for your Spirit to move. Holy Spirit, we invite you in here to be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last few weeks we've been talking about sex, and we've been talking about all of the aspects of it. And we started the first week talking about sex and how sex is a good thing, and that sex was created by God, and when used, just like anything that God creates, when it's used in the right way, it can be an amazing thing, and it's an awesome thing, and it's intended to be pleasurable, not just for making babies. While that is one of the core functions of it, obviously, that's not the only reason for it. And we talked about all those things. It's supposed to be pleasurable and between a man and a wife and all of that. And we have really had this underlying theme of the world's way versus God's way when it comes to this issue. But that is also a theme that I think we all need to be willing to look at for various aspects of our life. Are we making decisions that are the world's way or that are God's way? And to be able to trust God completely, not only with your sex life and the choices that you're making there, but in everything. We need to be willing to trust God. And week two, we talked about sex and relationships, because that's where it ends up going. And we talked about marriage. And for those of you that remember, I put Val up on the ladder, and we talked about that. And how when you let sex into a relationship before God's timing, when you let sex into a relationship before God's timing, that it can then enter into a place of risk and potential danger that it was never intended to have. And with the idea of the risks that you take and the choices that you can make there, have the risk of danger that is something that could last for the rest of your life. Because if you fall from that height, the chances of you getting hurt and not having someone who's in a covenant with you who has said that they're gonna be there no matter what to catch you is something that can destroy you and can have effects that last for the rest of your life. And last week, we talked about sexual confusion. We talked about homosexuality and transgender, the LGBTQ lifestyle, and all of those things, and how those things are a sin in God's eyes, and the idea of sexual confusion there, meaning not what God intended. We have confused the idea of, and we've done that in many areas as well, but specifically for the topic we're on, that has been confused in the world. And yet God values people above all, and he loves people above all. And I, for one, am thankful that God loves and accepts me as I am, but I'm also thankful that he loves me enough to not leave me where I'm at, and that he loves me enough to give me the word of God and to tell me the way that I should, a better way to live my life, because he wants more for me. He wants the best for me. And our need to surrender to loving others despite their differing views is something that we all need to surrender to as believers, because we're not going to agree with everybody on everything. And so we need to love people regardless. We need to not disregard the truth of God's word, and the truth of God's word is very clear. But God values people above all, and to love people, we need to surrender to what God wants for us in our lives, and what that looks like for each and every one of us individually is something that we need to be willing to surrender to. And so that's kind of the overview of where we've gone the last 3 weeks. And then tonight, as I mentioned when I was praying, is going to be about surrender as well. I'll be honest with you guys. Tonight is going to be about surrender. So I want to just put this out there right now. And it might not seem that way, but you know, while I'm getting started, but I want you to know that tonight is going to be about surrender. And wherever you have been in your life, wherever you are maybe in your sex life, and what you think about it and where you are in it. I want you to know that at the end of the night tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to really surrender to the Lord in that. And I hope that this has opened your eyes and your heart to what God has to say about it. And so tonight we're going to look at sexual destruction. In our culture, our society has been so desensitized to sex and sexuality that there's the morality meter doesn't even exist. There's no meter of morality, like how far is too far, all those kinds of things. It doesn't even exist anymore. And we probably don't think about something like sex necessarily as being destructive, especially because of the way that it is portrayed to us, is not portrayed as destructive. And not to mention, I spent an entire week, the first week in here at least, talking about how awesome sex is, and it is, because God created it, and how great it is, and how awesome of a thing it is. But like so many things that God creates to be awesome and amazing, because that's how God designed it, it was his idea. But when we take things that are created for good, and we mess them up, and we do, don't we? How many things in your life can you think of that, man, God put something maybe great in your life, and man, I just screwed that up. Man, I can already tell you some things this week. So that's an idea that I think we all get, that we all understand. But that's sin. And I want to look at this passage. We've looked at this passage every week of this series, and I want to look at it again because it really does encapsulate all of what we're talking about in this whole series. So let's read it here. If you got your Bible app, you can certainly follow along with us. If you're in the Bible app, everything tonight is on there. And so you'll be able to follow along, and you can save those notes if you want. You can add to the notes for yourself. If there's some things that are said that maybe really God hits you with, you can add to that to refer back to it at a later time. But let's look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you." I think we'd all agree with that statement. You're allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. "And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything." That's important for tonight. "You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." What's the high price that God bought us with? The blood of Jesus Christ. In case you're wondering what that's referring to, there is no higher price than that. So that passage really does kind of sum up a lot of what we're talking about tonight, but I want to look at another one here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. So listen to this. "God's will is for you to be holy." And holy just means set apart, okay? "So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways." Boy, that's a tough one, huh? Stay away from all sexual sin. That can be difficult. Where we're living, the time we're living, the things that maybe we're involved with, the people that we hang around with, how we were raised, that can be tough. But anything that we experience that isn't pointing us toward God and toward God's ways, whether it's pornography, whether it's sleeping around with, sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend, whether it's sexual immorality in any way, whether it's hooking up, whether it's any of the things that we've talked about, God's going to say that all that stuff is not how we're wired to be, is not how he intended. And as a matter of fact, it's harmful. It's harmful. And when we use the word sin, one of the things that that means is a behavior that is that harms us by participating in it. Sin is a thing that can be harmful when we participate in it. So this idea, though, of staying away from all this, what is talked about in here? Really is the opposite of how we feel sometimes, if we're being honest. Because the feelings that we have, the way that we're wired, because we talked about this, God has wired us as sexual beings, right? Like we're sexual beings. We're like looking to get it on. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. That's how we're wired. If anything, it seems like God almost wired us to go after the opposite perspective of like, no, let's explore. But we have this sin nature. And so how do we deal with that? How do we deal with the fact that we've got this, that God is kind of being weird, if we're being honest with ourselves, about sex? And we're being told from the outside world that it's not a big deal. We're being told from the world that kind of do what you feel, that it's not that big of a deal, to just do how you feel. And so for the rest of the night, what we're going to do is look at the evidence that's out there. What is the evidence that's out there? We're going to look at some of what statistically speaking, about some of the evidence for some of this stuff. Statistics, experts, and what we're going to ask is, does the evidence support or contradict what God says? Because we feel a certain way, we want to do certain things, we want to look at certain stuff, we want to maybe participate in certain aspects of sex and this lustful passion, as it's talking about here, yet we know God is saying to stay away from all of it. So why is God telling us to stay away from something that we're clearly wired to do? That's a good question. That's a really good question. So we're going to look at some of that stuff tonight. We're going to look at pornography. We're not going to look at pornography, all right? But we're going to look at the topic of pornography, all right? And I want to put that word out there right off the bat, because certain things come to mind when that word is thrown out there, right? And some of us cringe internally because maybe it's a secret sin. Because let's be honest, of the secret sins out there, you know, the things that we do that we don't want anybody else to know that we do. And we've all got them. Let's be honest. I hope that for the rest of the night, we can all be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Because we've all got those kinds of things. Some of us don't even flinch because maybe you don't have an issue with it, or maybe you don't think you do, at least. You don't struggle with it. But what do we really think about when we think about this word? Let's start with a definition. Let's define it, all right? So dictionary.com, it is a noun, person, place, or thing. Printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. Doesn't sound all that attractive when you read that. Display of sexual organs or activity. It's like, that's kind of a weird way to put it, but it's a good definition, right? I want to kind of focus on the last piece of it, though, because the first part of that sentence is just giving us facts. The second part is the intent. And I want to look at the intent for a second. Intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. Intended to stimulate erotic feelings. So let me ask this question. What do you believe about porn? What do you believe about porn? And this is something I want us to honestly think about. Because most Americans believe that porn is bad for society. Most Americans will say it's bad for society. But to be honest, those attitudes are really starting to shift toward a neutral position or even toward good for society in younger generations, believe it or not. And these are statistics from some very reliable sources, Barna being one of them. Half of adults think that viewing porn is wrong, 50%. But only 1/3 of teens and young adults believe it is wrong to view porn. Only 1/3. So that means in this room, 1 out of 3 of you think it's wrong, according to this study. That's kind of sad. Let me read this to you. I'm just going to read this word for word. This is from Barna. Listen to this. This will blow your mind, I think. It did me. Maybe it won't. When asked to rank a series of bad things a person could do, things such as stealing, lying, having an affair, even overeating, teens and young adults placed all porn-related actions at the very bottom of the list. In fact, teens and young adults said not recycling is more immoral than viewing pornographic images. They also placed thinking negatively about someone with a different point of view as much worse than viewing pornography. So, having bad thoughts about someone who has a different point of view of you is worse than viewing pornography. And not recycling is like the cardinal sin, apparently. Yeah. How dare you? Not you threw that can in the trash? Right? Like, right? Only 11% of teens and 5% of young adults say that their friends think viewing porn is bad. 11% say that their friends think viewing porn is bad. 1 out of 10. What do the experts say, though? What do the experts say about this? Because that statistic's about your generation right there. Statistically speaking, your generation thinks not recycling is worse than porn. You guys should be so proud, right? Yeah. Well, you're the worst, right? But look at this. Journal of Treatment and Prevention says there is a significant association between pornography consumption and loneliness. Interesting. Pornography consumption and loneliness have a very significant association. Not surprising when you think about what porn really is. According to Philip Zimbardo, who's a former president of the American Psychology Association, says that this is because pornography and pornographic images literally rewire our brains to process images. Listen to what he and a few other experts have to say about this. Check this video out.
The brain is a fascinating machine, really.
In terms of brain plasticity, everything that we do each and every day shapes our brain.
We call it neuroplastic, just as plastic is changeable and malleable. We can change the shape of the brain.
And I actually did a study recently on this. So we put people in the scanner and we looked at their brain structure and associated this brain structure with the amount of pornography they consume. So basically we found in our study that the gray matter in the reward center is generally smaller in those people who watch more porn.
We've seen that with multiple addictions, from methamphetamine to cocaine, others, and now with pornography addiction. It's almost as if the brain is saying, I like pleasure, but you're killing me. This is too much.
My hypothesis was that the ventral striatum and the reward regions should be bigger in those people watching pornography. And it's exactly the other way around. So,
were you shocked?
Yes, yes.
There is solid research to show that brain functioning changes. The more you watch pornography, that you can get a blip up when the pornography is totally new. But totally new soon becomes old as you watch that.
People need to watch more or get more interesting and novel stuff to get the same level of activity in the reward system.
Yeah, you know, so it's a paradox. When it starts out, the porn is turning you on, and the more porn you watch, the less likely you are to get aroused.
Which seems to indicate that the normal, regular thing you were used to isn't sufficient anymore.
The wonderful thing about the human mind is the power of curiosity to invent, to create, but what pornography does is it puts a straitjacket on our mind to say, no, this is the only thing I'm interested in, and then ultimately that any kind of compulsion is destructive.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it? Think about the effects that has. It's an addiction. It is being compared to some of the hardest drugs, if not worse than, depending on some studies that you look at. And it can become an addiction. And if you're wanting to experience eventually lifelong committed relationship to the same person, and most of us are, I would think, then consuming sexual images and porn is actually working directly against that end. You're literally putting some things in place to try to make sure that that doesn't happen. Look at this. 42% of surveyed adults indicated that their partner's use of pornography made them feel insecure, nearly half. 30% of surveyed adults said that their partner's use of pornography made them feel more like a sexual object. Lust, masturbation, pornography, and even the images that we see on a regular basis in ads and movies and TV shows, they teach us to view other people as objects. They teach us to look at people from the completely wrong perspective, and then we get this false perception of what sexual satisfaction should be, and this low self-esteem forms from that, And here's the thing, guys, it's all porn. And you may not think it is, but it really kind of is. And we carry that into our relationships. Unfortunately, we do. Let me put this statement out there for all of you. And this is probably going to shock you when I kind of break this down, because you've probably never thought of it like this. We all view porn more than we will admit. And I know, when I say porn, you're thinking like porn, right? You're thinking like that kind of like porn. But I'm quantifying it on a much broader scale, to be quite honest. Because if we're looking at what the definition of porn is, going back to that, is something that evokes erotic thoughts and feelings, disassociating from what relationships and what it should really be, then there are quite a few Snapchat stories and Instagram feeds that you could quantify as porn. Kim Kardashian's, I would call it porn. You might be like, Jay, you're really like a conservative prude. No, I'm not. I know it might seem that way. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to say that. I get it. That's not why I'm saying that. I'm not saying that because I'm some, you know, uptight old guy that, or whatever. That's not the point. The point is the eventual slippery slope of what this can do. This is a big part of the real problem. Nearly 3/4 of young adults, 71%, half of teens, 50%, come across what they would consider to be porn, what they would consider to be porn, at least once a month, whether they're seeking it out or not. So what other kinds of stuff are you seeing all the time? Something going on in the back row I need to know about? All right. Yeah, don't look at it. But what kinds of stuff are you guys coming across that you're not considering porn that actually might be changing and reshaping your brain that you're not even thinking about? Myself included, guys. It's hard. It's really hard to avoid stuff that's not aimed in that direction. I know how social media works in terms of the algorithms behind. They will aim at you specifically. They know my demographic. They know I'm 39 and I'm a white male in Akron, Ohio. Like, they know exactly how to aim and target at me. They know that for you too. Don't think that they don't. They know exactly how to target what's going in your feed. Yet we think we've got it under control. Look at Proverbs. Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Some of us think that we can play with fire and not get burned. We will get burned. I put this up a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to throw it up here again. Three of the top reasons for divorce: sexual dissatisfaction, lack of communication, unfaithfulness. All three of these things would be a residual effect of pornography. And I'm not just talking Hustler, or I don't even know what the porn mags are right now. So whatever they are, or the websites, or whatever. I know nobody gets the magazines, because it's all free online, and we all know it. You can't tell me that lust doesn't drive us to a selfish view of sexuality. It creates entitlement, it creates boredom, it creates restlessness and expectations and unrealistic expectations. And this transitions directly into the culture that we have right now. We should not be surprised that our culture of hooking up with various people without any worry of consequences or relational commitment is just the norm. This is the natural progression of where we have gone, because porn is no big deal anymore. What does it say about us when we're willing to experience the most intimate act that God created between two people in the union that is the most sacred to him, and be able to just go, I got what I need from you, I'm out, peace. Moving on to the next booty, right? It's inevitably brought us to what now experts are starting to call porn 2.0. Porn 2.0, but you all know it as sexting. This is what is considered porn 2.0. It is user created, okay? So, and this was the natural progression of this. Again, we shouldn't be surprised. It's user created, often shared with a known person or a friend, significant other, sexting, Snapchatting, nude pictures, posting provocative images on Instagram. That I'm sorry, that's just a big thing that has become a big thing. that we just try to see how much we can get away with and just not quite show everything. You know what I mean? Let me say this, though, because statistically speaking, many of you in this room have been a part of sexting in one way, shape, or form. I don't know how many of you have. Statistically speaking, it would be probably nearly half of you. Let me say this. Sexting is porn. Sexting is porn. And we have become used to viewing porn on Instagram and on Snapchat, and to the point that it doesn't affect us. And we've enabled ourselves to objectify relationships, and it is destructive to relationships. It is beyond destructive. 62%, here's the stat, 62% of teens and young adults have received sexually explicit images, and 41% have sent one, usually from their boyfriend, girlfriend, or friend. There is another danger of this porn 2.0, and that those who are sending these photos, they begin to feel insecure because they feel like this is how they can validate themselves. They feel like this is the validation. If I send this picture to this guy, or if I get this picture from this girl, or if I send this picture to this girl, or whatever it is, that validates me, and that I want him to like me. So I should probably send this. I want her to like me, or whatever. And the people that are requesting these are now not looking at relationships in the right way. They're looking at it for all of the wrong things. It's exactly what Satan wants you to think. It's exactly the opposite of what God wants for your life. And it can be destructive, very destructive. Take a look at this.
Growing up, I moved around a lot, from California to Utah to New York to a little bit in Idaho. And for me, it was always very important that I have friends, because I am a very social, I love to talk, I'm a very social person, but at the same time, that was very hard. At that point in my life, I would do anything that I could to get accepted. My perspective on porn is, I hate it. The first time I saw pornography was when I was 8 years old, and it's not something that I was seeking after. It was something that was brought into my life, not intentionally, and it wasn't something that I wanted. It was really hard getting it into my head that I didn't have to do whatever they asked me to. I didn't have to put myself out there just because I thought that the only way that they were gonna like me was if I let them use my body. And so I ended up getting myself into a lot of situations that were harmful to me, and they ended with rape and just a lot of sexual abuse. The first time I had any sexual abuse or rape was when I was 13 years old, and it was actually on the night of my 13th birthday. As the night progressed on, I could tell the situation was just getting worse and worse, and I had literally, I can remember a screaming inside of me that I wanted to get out of that situation. At times when I felt like I wasn't good enough and that he didn't want to be with me anymore is when I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. I was so desperate to feel that love that I turned to pornography to honestly teach me how to keep somebody with my body, and that is so wrong with how it's supposed to be. That's the opposite of how you're supposed to feel, and it was a horrible feeling. Being in a situation where I have been so in love with somebody and wanting to be with them, and knowing that their view on our love was strictly out of pornography, made me feel like our love was so fake. And the way that pornography stages itself, the way that pornography shows itself to the world, is not the way that anybody is supposed to fall in love. It's not the way that anybody is supposed to love each other. Eventually, when I find the right person and when I find that, I'm gonna be able to love again, and I'm gonna be able to find somebody that really does love me for who I am. and that's what they want from me. And I'm honestly so excited for that moment where I can feel so happy and so safe and so ready to put myself out there and I guess love like that. And I don't necessarily feel like I know what that feels like, but I'm excited to feel it and I know that I will.
That's a raw, real story of the effects that it can have. I asked this question earlier in the series a few weeks ago, and I'm going to ask it again. Does it really matter what you're doing with your sex life as long as no one is getting hurt? I think we just saw an actual answer to that question. Listen, you are molding your sexual tastes. Straight up. If this is something that you're struggling with and something that you're involved in, and maybe you didn't think it was all that big of a deal, let me just say this. Everybody look at me. This is molding your sexual taste. Gentlemen, hear me on this. You can be rewiring yourself to choose your right hand over your wife. And that might sound, get a little chuckle out of you, but I'm being dead serious. Girls, you could create this mental image of somebody that a guy could never meet. A guy could never meet up to those standards and would could eventually make your husband unappealing to you. But here's the good news, because there's always good news with God. The good news is that change is possible. Change can happen. You can do something about it. You can do something about it. That's what God is for, is to help us grow. He loves us too much to let us stay there. As I say all the time, so what can we do about it? And you're like, I get it, Jay, I want to change. I want to change, but what do I need to do? How do I even get out of this? Because it can really feel like a trap. It can very much have the same resemblance of drug addiction, if not worse. So what do we do about it? Well, it's not a simple answer, but I can give you some steps to begin tonight. And so I hope everybody, because these steps can apply to many things that maybe we're struggling with. And so let me just give you some things very quickly. A couple of things. Three things. Well, actually four. Number one, cut out the sin. Cut out the sin. What do I mean by that? Recognizing that that's what it is and that we need to cut it out. Matthew 5, Jesus says, but I say anyone who even looks on a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. Satan is going to tell you that it's not a big deal, that you've got it under control, that you can stop anytime you want, just not today. Here's the deal. Cut out the sin and believe that you can overcome it, because you can. To deny your ability to be able to overcome sin is to say that the cross wasn't good enough for you, to say that Jesus' sacrifice for you wasn't good enough for you. I can't get out of it. It's impossible. You're saying that the power of God, Christ's death, was not big enough to handle your sin for you. 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue in sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Does that mean we can be perfect? No, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying that we can be perfect. But if you are a follower of Christ, you should want to be free. You should want to be free. It should bother you. It should bug you if you're a follower of Christ. And if it doesn't bug you, I would have to question your heart with God as to whether you're right with God or not. So that's number one. Cut out the sin and believe that you can overcome it. Number two, create a new behavior. As the video mentioned there, you can actually retrain your brain, the first video that we watched, to undo some of the damage, believe it or not. If you can train your brain to go one way, you could train it to go the other. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Part of breaking old habits successfully is to replace those things that were bad with good things. To replace a temptation with something else and put something else in its place. And, you know, you, Maybe this happens when no one's at home. And so you know you've got that moment when no one's at home. So maybe you need to take some precautions and do some things. Move the computer out into the living room. Don't take your phone into your room at night. And you're like, well, Jay, it's my alarm. Yeah, I get that. But maybe figure some stuff out. I don't know your current situation and what that is, but you can always come up with an excuse to not. Let's be honest about that. Maybe you pick up a new activity. Maybe you jump into something else because you've got some of this downtime. Get yourself away from those temptations when those temptations happen. Find something to replace it. Number three, know the warning signs. Know the warning signs. James 1, 14 through 15 says, but each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. We need to look at it like a drug because that's what it is. And we need to fight it. We all go through a process when we enter into sin, and we make ourselves aware of where we are on that path is a big part of that. To just make yourselves aware that this is a sin, this is a thing that is a problem, and to just at least acknowledge that right there is going to give you a much better chance of fighting it. So what are some resources that we can have for that? Let me give you just a couple real quick. And there's some more. But we need to start with a place. There's two websites I'll give you. XXXChurch.com. It's a great one. It's a great website. It's a church out in Las Vegas that is specifically aimed at helping to reach porn stars for Jesus and to help them to recover and to share the gospel with them. And they have all kinds of resources on their website that are things like browser plugins, all kinds of accountability software, stuff to educate you about what is and isn't. Great, great things are on there. As well as fightthenewdrug.com. It's almost a movement at this point, this idea of fight the new drug, and it's about fighting against porn and the harmful effects of porn. Both those videos that I showed tonight were from fightthenewdrug.com. And there's many more on there that can open your eyes to really what porn is doing to ourselves, to our country, to our world. It's amazing. But you know what? There's a fourth one. There's a fourth thing. Because we can know the warning signs, but we need to let a trusted person know. If you think you can fight something like this alone, you're nuts. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. James 5. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You need to confess to yourself and confess to someone else. I promise you, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. You need to talk to somebody this week. You maybe need to talk to somebody tonight. You can come and talk to one of us. Shoot me a text. Connect with one of us on Facebook. We're there, guys. The website, you can get in contact with me any way. There are many ways to get in contact with one of us. And we would love to help you in any way, shape, or form that we can from an accountability standpoint. So here's the connection point for the night. And I'm going to have the band come on up. Because we're going to close with a song tonight. We're going to do something a little bit different than we normally do. But here's the connection point for the night. Porn kills love. So run towards God. Everybody listen to me for a second. I know it's been kind of a long talk and a long series, and I get that. And this is not how long normally things are. But this is too important of a topic to not cover it as thoroughly as we possibly can. So hear me for just a minute on some of these things. Sexual sin, I believe, is one of the biggest things plaguing Christianity and Christians today. Not just Christianity, but Christians, individuals. It's a big, big problem. Porn is really at the center of it. But nobody wants to talk about it because it's awkward. Because we don't want to put ourselves out there. And I get it. You're thinking everybody's going to look at you differently. You're thinking, man, I got this under control. It's not a problem. Drop the pride. It's exactly what the enemy wants you to think, is that you got this under control. Trust me, guys, listen, this is more important than recycling, okay? It's more important than recycling, way more important. Where we land on this, this is the foundations of who we are being ripped apart by something that's just slipped in to the point where now it's becoming not a big deal. And I'm taking this way beyond porn now, because I'm talking about all sexual sin. All sexual sin. It's a problem. Some of you have been a part of that. I'll just be straight up. Statistically speaking, a lot of you have experiences, potentially bad experiences, in the area of sexual sin. Whether it's some bad choices you've made, something that somebody has, that you've been a part of, or someone has unfortunately maybe done to you. And it sucks. It does. But we can choose tonight. You can choose tonight to surrender to the truth. And to surrender to the truth of God's word, to surrender to the truth that he loves you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've participated in, that he loves you so much, and he wants nothing more than for you to be close to him. We should be close, as close to him. There should be no one closer to us than him. And part of the reason that people are just running toward these things is because of that need for love and acceptance. We all have that need for love and acceptance, and we're unfortunately looking for it in all the wrong places. Instead of trying to draw close to God, we can't buy the lie that Satan is feeding us about sex and sexuality. And straight up, guys, it's got to start with you. It's got to start with your generation. My generation blew it. That's why you're in the place that you are with this stuff. Because my generation messed it up. And every generation afterwards is unfortunately paying the price for what happened before. When I was in high school, when I was in the youth department, if somebody said porn, oh my word, get out of the room. Everybody would have freaked out. To do an entire lesson on porn, are you kidding me? This is where we're at. We have to drag the wrong view on sex and marriage and what it's supposed to be, and we need to drag it out. We need to drag it out, and we need to take those addictions of lust and porn, and we need to bring them into the light where they need to be. We need to look at it as a drug, because that's what it is. We need to deal with it. We need to conquer it through the power of Jesus Christ by drawing close to him, so that we can be free from these kinds of sins and we can enjoy sex for what it's supposed to be, the way that God created it, in marriage with no baggage to ruin it. Because trust me when I tell you that if you have the baggage that you bring in, you can't just leave it at the door all the time. And there are leaders around here that will tell you the same thing. We can be free to be lights for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. And so I want to ask you guys, and I want to put it out to you all, if you haven't completely surrendered the area of sex and sexuality to the Lord, let's do that tonight. Let's make that happen tonight. Any sexual sin, maybe it's any other kind of addiction or whatever it is. Maybe you need to pray about that. You need to talk with somebody about that. Let's do that tonight. Let's surrender to him tonight. Let's draw close to the Lord. I want to ask everybody to stand for a minute, if you could. And I really want to ask you to take a good, hard look inside. We're going to end with a song tonight. And I'd love for everybody just right now, before we sing, to bow your head for just a minute. Don't look around. I don't care what the person next to you is doing. I don't care what the people outside are doing. I want to know what God is doing in your heart right here, right now. I know that there are some of you that need to surrender the area of sex, sexual addiction, sexuality, whatever that is. You need to surrender that to the Lord tonight. You need to draw close to Him instead of the other stuff that you've been using to fill the hole that Jesus can fill. Some of us have made mistakes. Don't let that stop you. Jesus loves you exactly as you are. His highest value is people. He loves you so much. So I want to pray, and when I pray, I want to ask you to pray to the Lord as well. And if you make a decision tonight, I'd love to hear about it. Our leaders would love to hear about it. Maybe you just need to talk and pray with somebody. Let's do that after we sing and we pray. Father, I love you, Lord. And I thank you that you love me and that you love us so much. I thank you that you want us to draw close to you. I thank you that you want our closest relationship to be with you. And God, help us not to believe the lies that Satan puts out there. Help us not to believe the lies about sex, about porn, about any of the stuff that we see. Lord, help us to put some things in place to help us to fight this drug that has unfortunately been created, and the way that our brains are being shaped, God, is the opposite of what you want for us. So Lord, help us to put some things in place. Help us to make some decisions tonight. God, help us to surrender to you. I don't care where any of us are, Lord, we should all be willing to surrender to you tonight. And Lord, if there's someone here maybe that doesn't know you as Savior, maybe they don't even have that relationship with you, God, let them maybe make that decision tonight. God, I pray that there would be some amazing decisions for you tonight. Some things would stop, or at least some things would be put in place for things to stop and begin to move forward and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.